Shalom, welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learned Psalm 66, Samech Vav. Continuing the theme of praising God, it seems that this comes in waves, several negative in a row focusing on fear and despair, and then several positive ones praising God in all aspects. Psalm 66 sings another song, as it's in the title, this time calling out to all the inhabitants of the land to sing this song with him. L'menatzeach shir mizmor hariu l'Elohim kol haaretz. Zamru kvod shmo simu kavod tilato. Imru l'Elohim manorah ma'asecha berovu zecha yikachshu lacha oivecha. Kol haaretz yishtachavu lacha v'yizamru lach v'yizamru shimcha selah. Sing a song, shout out to God, all the earth, sing the glory of his name, make glorious his praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Through the greatness of your might, your enemies will admit their lies to you. All the earth will prostrate themselves to you and sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name forever. The beginning of the psalm focuses intently on one of the main themes of the book of Tehillim, not just calling out to God, but also trying to convince others in the world to sing songs of praise to God. First, one has to emerge from the fear from physical or emotional harm. Then one needs to find one's voice and turnings to God in gratitude and ultimately song. But finally, one tries to share that feeling and intensity about God to others, their cups spilling over. This is the feeling we get when reading the first four verses, with the mission to call out to others already presented in the title verse. The expression in verse 3, Imru l'Elohim, say to God, is the most explicit way of the psalmist to convey his desire to share his good fortunes with others. It's not enough to feel it. One needs to say to God. And what to say? Ma'anora ma'asecha, how awesome are your deeds. A direct call to God is necessary, not a removed one from God, talking about God in third person. The second half mentions enemies, but this time it's not that our enemies, but rather your enemies. This removes the selfish needs of the one singing to God in this section. This expression appears only once in Tanakh, and perhaps this is the source where the famous piyut on Yom Kippur of Imru l'Elohim comes from. The psalm continues, L'chu u'ru'u mifalot Elohim nora alila al-bnei adam hafach yam liyabasha b'nahar yavru b'regel sham nismecha bo moshel b'gvurato olam einav b'goyim titzpena hasorim al yarumus lamosela. Go and see the deeds of God, awesome in his deeds toward mankind. He turned the sea into dry land, and the river they crossed by foot. There we rejoiced with him, with his might he rules the world. His eyes oversee the nations, the rebellious ones will not exalt themselves ever. The mission continues in this section where when he convinces others to go and seek out the great deeds of God, the remarkable actions towards mankind. And then he lists them. This list is creationist. God's original actions and his rulings of the world. Once again, it concludes with a mention of rebellious ones, but it is a somewhat muted form, not the main message. The next section, Baruchu Amim Eloheinu Vashmiu Kol Tilato, tells the people to bless God, make the voice of his praise heard. Hasam Nashenu B'chaim B'lo Natan Lamot Raglenu, for he kept our souls alive and did not let our foot falter. Ki B'chantanu Elohim Tzeraftanu Ketzeref Kesef. Here it gets complicated. Hevetanu b'mitzuda samtenu uakah b'matneinu. Hirkavta enosh v'loshenu banu b'eishu v'mayim batotzienu lirvaya. You tested us. You refined us as though refining silver. You brought us into a trap, placed us in chain on our loins, caused man to ride over us, came in fire and water, and you took us out to safety, to satiety. This section continues the praise of God, but transitions from a universal, more removed praise to describing the ways in which God has provided salvations from his suffering and prevented them from faltering. But then in verse 10, it goes darker. You tested us, refined us, acknowledging that God's salvation also included their suffering, but purposeful suffering. This seems to be a religious justification of the pain the psalmist felt and wanted to impart, that even the difficulties were part of God's plan to help refine their souls. Verses 11 and 12 dive deeper into the trap set for them by the enemy, even the chains they were placed in, torture too. But ultimately, he brought them out of safety of that fire to safety. The Midrash puts this horrifying description of their suffering into generic historical context, such as fire during the times of Nebuchadnezzar, or water during the period of Pharaoh in Egypt, or salvation during the time of the evil Haman, the Midrash generalizes the psalm as focusing on the struggles of the Jew through the ages and the salvation brought by God, with the realization that the suffering too had its value. Finally, Avo Beitcha Ba'olot Ashalem Lecha Nedarai Asher Patsu Sfatai V'Diber Pitz Batzar Lit Olot Mechim A'ale Lecha In Ktoret Elim Eseh Bakarim Atudim Sela. I shall come to your house with burnt offerings. I shall pay you my vows, which my lips uttered and my mouth spoke in my distress. Burnt offerings of fat animals I shall offer you with the burning of rams. I shall prepare cattle with he-goats forever. Yet another reminder of the importance of paying my vows, which we've seen throughout the last bunch of Mizmorim, which will take place in the house of God. Here he details the type of vows he will fulfill, animal offerings. And the final section. L'chu shimu v'asapra kol yirei Elohim asher asa l'nafshi elav pikarati v'romem tachat l'shoni aven im ra'iti b'libi lo yishma Adonai achen shma Elohim ikshiv v'chol tfilati baruch Elohim asher lo yisir tfilati v'chazdo me'iti. This has a certain cadence to it, certain poetic aspect of these last psukim. Come, and I shall tell you who fear God, what he did for my soul. My mouth called out to him, and he was exalted under my tongue. If I saw iniquity in my heart, the Lord does not hear it. But God heard, he hearkened to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who did not remove my prayer and his kindness from me. In the final section, he addresses it, his adherents to listen to his personal story of how God saved him. The psalm turns personal as he expresses his calling to God and God listening to him, but not to his sins. Rather, he prays to God that he only listens to his innocent prayers. The psalm concludes with blessing to parallel the call to bless God in verse 8. There he was calling others to sing to God in praise, but by the end he describes his own personal journey and the motivation for him blessing God. Indeed, God never forgets his prayer, never removes his kindness from the author, teaching himself and those around him that despite the hardship, God was always there. This theme borders on a philosophical notion of explaining why the righteous suffer. One approach we have seen relates to the punishment for sinning. A second approach here speaks in terms of refining the spirit, testing our mettle. When looking back on the tumultuous events in his life, he's able to see the big picture and understand that even the harsh moments were still part of God's plan in lifting his soul up and cleansing him. This is truly a high level of acceptance of God's guidance and love, that even during the bad times, he never left his side.